Thank the Lord. I love what I feel in this place. I'm so thankful that God has brought us all together. It's so beautiful to be able to worship in spirit and in truth. And just feeling God's presence just sweep over this place this morning just encourages my heart. And we have all come together to worship God. And like Nick was saying earlier, we're not here to necessarily see each other, even though it's a wonderful bonus, but to come and to worship God and to give him our lives. And my husband just basically preached my whole message because we both are passionate about the same thing. And so you're going to hear pretty much the same thing, that everything in life we need to look at ourselves, reflect to ourselves, and say, God, what do you expect from me? What do you want from me? I want to please you, Lord. And not just get up day after day and just take whatever comes your way, whatever you are experiencing, and just say, God, here we go, another day, just existing. No, we need to talk to God every morning and say, God, what is my purpose in life? What do you have planned for me? And be purposeful. And the last time I had the opportunity to speak was on Father's Day, and it's pretty much a lot of the same things, being purposeful, because that's what I'm passionate about. And when we were talking about the dedications coming up and how excited we were about them, I said, I love dedications. And he says, well, why don't you speak this one? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm good. So then later he mentioned it again. I'm like, oh, I'm scared to death. But, okay, I'm just going to trust God. And if you feel like that this is something that God would have me to do, then I'm just going to start preparing and I'm going to start praying and I'm believing that God's going to speak and that I'll know he's speaking through me. So this morning I am just trying to be a mouthpiece for God and encourage all of you. If God's put something on your heart, come talk to Pastor. Don't let it all be on just a few people, because we all have a different perspective and something we can bring to one another and show God that we want to be used of him and we want to the Lord to speak through us. So this is a very special day, and I'm so thankful for friends and for the family of God. I'm getting emotional. I can't look at you guys. But we're all here to pull together and say, we're behind you. And as we know, baptisms are saved for when we're older and we know what we're doing, correct? This is when we make a choice that we are going to allow our sins to be washed away. This is a time that we bring our children back to God and say, I'm dedicating my child to you, God. I'm making a special effort, and I'm asking my family to join me in that. And so by having all of us come together today and to say, we're going to be behind you, we are going to support you, we're going to love you, and be purposeful and encourage you, and to be thinking about what we're going to do with our own children. And if you're not a parent today, you don't have young children, or if you have older children, I just want to encourage you to just take in some of these principles that I'm going to share with you and just ask God, help me to make the best of my life. Help me to be purposeful in everything that I do. Help me to love others. Help me to be an example to others and not be selfish. And just like I said, wake up in the morning and think, oh, here we go, another day. What can I do to please me? What can I do to make me happy today? You know, you would be really blessed if you thought of others first, because like the conduit example we've heard before, if a pipe, it has water flowing through it, the water is splashing on the pipe as well. So if we're using, allowing ourselves to be used of God and the Spirit is coming through us and we're walking up and praying with somebody or encouraging somebody, that same power and presence is flowing through us. And it is a wonderful feeling to know that God can use you. And so today, I am real thankful that we can be a part of this. And 30 years ago, I became a mom. So I love being a mom. I love the family of God. I love living for God. I love just nurturing children. I have told you before, if I could have had 12, I would have had 12. But we had 2 plus many, many more that God has blessed us with and has brought through our lives. But our baby, our youngest, is going to be 28 this Friday. So our which I'm really proud of our children, obviously, because this is something that we've purposed to do. We purpose to raise our children to be proud of them. Everybody wants to say, I love my child, I'm proud of my child. And although many of you, I'm sure you know, there's no way we can be perfect parents. There's going to be things that we're going to miss, but the most important thing is that we try. The most important thing is that we purpose to do it, that we make sure that we make an intentional effort to do the very best we can. So when I look back and I think about all the things that blessed us as parents, the number one thing I can say are days like this. because when the way we raised our children, when we grew up, we were faithful to the house of God, and we would hear things come from the pulpit. Our pastor would do on baby dedications. He set that aside, the time aside, to talk specifically about raising children, and that's why we patterned that, because we felt that was very, very important, and that's a time that we can reflect on that. So services like this are the very things that helped us with every decision that we made with our children, and we're really grateful and thankful for them. So I can be passionate about this because I know it made a difference in my life. And since we have our children in the sanctuary today, I'm going to start off with a scripture for you, Ephesians 6:1. How many of you can quote that? Some of you older children, Ephesians 6:1? Oh, it's already up there. Children, say it together. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, verse 2. Which is the first commandment with a promise. Do you know what your promise is? That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, verse 4, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with the fear and trembling in singleness of heart as unto Christ. So guess what, kids? God is our master and savior. But we have a master that in the physical realm, someone that will lead us and guide us, whether it be a mom, a dad, both hopefully together, a grandparent, whoever is raising you, that's the authority that God put over your life. So in the flesh, we have a master, someone to guide us and lead us, as the example that we just saw in the scripture. They are instructed to do this. Verse number 6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So there is a blessing in it. So as we might find ourselves in the position of the master or the authority or the authority figure over your life, or you're the servant, the child, the person listening to the authority, either way, that by example, we will be blessed as we watch them grow into respectful adults if we can teach our children and those that God has given us the responsibility to guide. And we have to do this purposefully, intentionally. We have to think about it. And I believe the reason that our children are so passionate about ministry and being involved in the things that God has called them to do is because we purposed that we'd raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as verse 4 states, and teach them how important it is to serve him with all their hearts. And as we do that, we will see the fruit coming from it, because we have to purpose. We have to make that an important thing in our life. It just won't happen overnight. It just doesn't happen. And everything that we do as my husband and I, as parents, in our marriage, in our ministry, was taught to us on purpose. It's not just, oh, they're blessed, or, oh, that just happened for them, or they're lucky. It's not that. It's something that we decided we wanted 32 years ago when we first got married. We said, this is what we want in our life. We talked about it. We thought about it. We listened to the word, and we were guided to do this. It doesn't all come natural. It was hard work. Believe me, it was hard work. There's some times that your flesh just says, you know, oh, it's easier just to ignore that just happened instead of address it. But because we had the support and a support group and stayed involved in things of God, we learned and we watched from other examples. We kept ourselves around people that we knew were intentional as well, people that were trying to make their life better. And we said, God, what can we do? And we would watch how other couples would handle maybe conflict in front of us. They were kind. They didn't embarrass the other one. They waited. But I knew when they left and they got in the car, there was going to be a discussion. And so that helped me to understand, you know what, we need to love each other. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to say stupid things. But we need to be careful that we do not reflect that on others and discourage others. And I can't express how important it is to be faithful to the house of God, because these are the places. You never know when you're going to hear that very word that's going to help you through what you're going through. You don't know who God's going to use to do it. And we don't come here week after week, sometimes three or four times a week, just to visit each other, to be part of something, just to belong. We come and we put ourselves in a place of worshiping God, just saying, Lord, as we sang those songs, we could just lift our hands and just let the cares of this world, just give them to God and say, Lord, I love you. You are my strength. And just be able to sing some of these words that will kind of resonate in your mind and help you understand, yep, you are Lord. You are everything. You are my strength. And that's where we get a lot of that. And a lot of times, too, just coming down to this altar and just seeing, sometimes someone's just broken. They're just hurting. And they just come to the altar and they give it to God. The support that surrounds behind them and then just praise over them. I've had it many times where I just said, God, I just don't know what else to do. I'm just hurting right now. I know I shouldn't be hurting. I shouldn't be letting these things bother me, but I just need you right now. And just out of nowhere, somebody will walk over and just say, I love you. Give me a hug. Pray over me. You know, we're all human and we need each other. But when the power of God speaks through you and the love of God shines through you, all you have to do is just be that person to be sensitive to God and say, all right, this might be embarrassing, but I feel like I just need to do this. I'm going to do it anyway. So those moments are very important to our purpose in life and progressing forward. So I'm not sure if my title is up there. Yes, it is. Purposeful Parenting. So that's something that I just feel that we need to pay close attention to. John 15, verse 4 through verse 6. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast from forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into a fire to be burned. Now, that's a very powerful scripture, an analogy. And I do often think about, like, our family, like we are a tree. And we are, as parents, we will shelter our children. And a lot of times they won't see a lot of the aggressiveness. And there's another scripture that I was referring to on that one. But we do need to make sure that we stay part of the tree. We have to be careful that we don't allow little things like when winds come and a branch will break, and then if it's not healthy branch and it's starting to die, it's going to fall off, and then all it's good for is firewood. So we need to be careful that we keep ourselves nurtured, that we allow others to protect us from those winds, that we pray and trust God that we could stay connected so we're not set aside and withering away, but that we have the strength from one another. We need to stay connected and all work and continue to build a healthy church. And as our church continues to, each one of us individually, start growing and asking God to help us to be strong, then as a body, we become stronger. So when God brought my husband and I together, we were blessed to have a church family and a body of Christ and a pastor who cared. That just meant the world to us. Just looking back and saying, wow, where would we be without that guidance and that leadership? He poured into us. He made his ministry a priority. He went full-time as soon as he could. He wasn't so worried about having a gorgeous, huge house with a pool and maybe a golf course behind it and drive two or three fancy cars. He wasn't concerned with all that. He knew God called him to Medina at the time, and then we were in Rittman. He called him for a purpose, and that example to us strengthened us. And so we need to not belittle or ignore the things that made us who we are. We need to be purposeful. We need to think about them and look at them. And so because of that, him going full-time and focusing on the needs of the very people that God brought into the church that he pastored and put under his leadership, he took that very seriously. And because of that, We have implemented many of the very things, like the dedication services, where we dedicate the whole service to talking about how important it is to invest in our children. And also, the many other things that God has blessed us with and guided us with. And so as he took that serious and we took that on, we emulated those things when we were called to lead a church, such as services like this, attending marriage conferences, which we just did this weekend. And when we were first married, our pastor encouraged us, get to every marriage conference you can. It'll be your strength. You'll learn things. You'll grow. You know, don't try to just be married and try to do things. You need to have guidance and strength and, you know, encouraged us to read books and do the things that we needed to do to move forward. And for, I think it was like 9 years. So we were married in November, and that first February, we were at the marriage retreat. And we actually got a book from Don Deck. I'll never forget. It was a preacher. He wrote a book. And he was the one that was orchestrating the marriage retreat. And he gave a gift for the youngest married couple, and that was us. And so for 9 solid years, we did not miss one. And we can contribute a lot of our strengths because of that. So our pastor encouraged us to go to marriage conferences, camp meetings, not only family camp, but go to send our children to children's camps, go to work at the camps, be involved. And those are the things that we surrounded ourselves around that really strengthened us and our children, because we couldn't do it alone. We didn't have all the answers, obviously. There's no way that we can just trust in our own abilities. So we exposed our children to youth services, youth rallies, took them places to meet people where they see that other Christians live for God. Many growth conferences and ministry developing workshops, things like that, that we try to make available as people desire to grow in God. We were taught to reverence God in his house of worship and to teach our children by example and by correction when needed. What example are we setting? We need to look at ourselves daily. What are we showing not only our children but those around us that are trying to find their place in God, trying to understand where God wants them to be or how to live for God or just what life is all about? We can daily purposefully be that example for them. So what are we teaching them? When the person in the pulpit, when we come to church, God will raise people up for leaders. And people will come, even if they're just coming to make an announcement. And if someone in the pulpit asks us to stand or to do something specific, do we deliberately ignore them and stay seated? These are things that we need to ask ourselves. Do I have a rebellious spirit? Do I have like a, I'm not listening to you. No matter what, I'm not listening to you. When it is asked of us to lift our hands and worship God, do we just fold our arms and put them behind us? As the Spirit moves and we are encouraged to clap your hands, give a praise to the Lord, do we allow ourselves to follow the leading in the direction of the person that's asking us to do that? And or do we clap our hands? Do we raise them instead? Or do we put them behind us, fold them together? What do we do? Think about. We might still be worshiping, but we were just asked, hey, to give a hand clap of praise to the Lord. And when you put your hands up, you're still worshiping him. But we have to understand that being respectful and listening closely to what is asked of us, those are the things that we're teaching our children and others too. Are we respectful to what our direction is, what our authority, the person who's asking us to do something? Well, we need to expect that from our children to listen to us as well, right? We want them to obey us. Why? Because we are responsible to teach them and train them. And so for those of you that have been asked or maybe even said yourself, who do they think they are? Why are they telling me what to do? I don't have to listen to them. I'll do what I want. Well, I'll tell you who they think they are. They think that they are responsible at that moment to help you become the best and receive the best and begin and doing everything that God has for you to be able to enjoy your life. If someone is put in this platform for whatever reason, in this podium, that they are responsible. We have to be careful what we say. This is a scary thing up here. It wasn't easy for me. I thought I was going to pass out before he called me up here. It's very difficult. We have to take it serious. And we need to be able to respect those that God has put in and given us a little bit of direction, whether it makes sense or not. If we make a point to purposely teach our children God's principles and correct their behavior from the beginning, we'll not have to stress when they're older. If your children are under 10 right now, thank God, because you're still in that process. You're still teaching them. You're still guiding them. After 10, obviously, things get a little more intense. But if you focus on the younger years and you help them to understand by your consistency, by showing them exactly what they need to do, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, they're not going to try to pull out of those things later in life. So we need to be purposeful. And our pastor taught many child-raising lessons in the 12 years we were there because of the dedications. And we embraced them, we discussed them, and we implemented them. We talked about them. When we left the church, some of the things we might not have talked about, but we started implementing. When God opened the door for us to start pastoring in Cleveland, our boys were 7 and 9, and it was already instilled in them how to act in church. You don't run, you don't plow people over, you're not disrespectful, you sit quietly when the service is going on. There's things that they already knew. We didn't have to spend all of our time chasing and correcting children. Instead, they immediately got involved in everything. If we made songbooks, they helped us put the songbooks together. If we were passing them out during the service and collecting them and cleaning the church, setting up for Sunday school, whatever we did, they were right beside us. It was just a given. So after the initial shock of finding out that we were ripping them away from their church family and bringing them up to the city that's all over the news and people always talk about, at 7 and 9, they knew. They just started crying immediately. But after that, they embraced it. They immediately embraced every part of it, and you couldn't rip them out of Cleveland now. So they love it here. So we only have one chance with our children, and of course, that's the example that I have to give to you today, is my children. So obviously, I'm not trying to brag on them. I'm just telling you that that's the example that I have, and I'm glad that God gave it to us, and we need to purposely pay attention to how we're raising our children. So in this moldable time in their life, as their younger years, we need to take it very serious, and we'll work ourselves out of a job. Proverbs, before we put that up, don't put it up yet, please. Proverbs 22:6. How many of you, raise your hand if you can quote that. Just by, I know once you hear the first word, you'll be able to quote it. But Proverbs 22:6, many of us had a little plaque, some of us older people, from Home Interiors that had a little train on it, and we had it in our baby's room. So with the word train, what is Proverbs 22:6, everybody? Yes, thank you. See, everybody knows that verse. Sometimes we don't remember the references, but as soon as our memory's jogged, yep, we got that. So that is what God intended us to do. Proverbs 29:15. This is for you, Rob. He likes when we get real. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame, and his father too. So don't teach your children to follow their heart. Teach them to follow the heart of God. Encourage them to understand the things of God. A lot of you understand that. I see that. Jeremiah 17, verse 7, blessed is a man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree, this is what I started referring to earlier, a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots in the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Verse 9, the heart is deceitfully wicked, deceitfully above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And verse number 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So we need to really pay attention, to understand, to focus, to be purposeful, that we help our children to understand. That rod, that's another thing that our pastor encouraged us to do, and it was very, very effective. We had a little eighth-inch dowel rod, I believe it was, a small little dowel rod, and that was more of a symbol than anything. It wasn't something we beat our kids with, but we did have to at times. The rod of reproof give wisdom. We had to sometimes. They weren't very wise at times. And if we allowed them to continue foolish behavior, it could affect them later in life. And so it was our job to correct that. And sometimes all we'd have to do, we kept it on the refrigerator because we didn't want to use our hand constantly. Every time our child did something wrong, just slap them. So what we would do, if they saw us walking towards the refrigerator to grab that little rod, I'm sorry, Mommy. And if they were really sorry, we had the conversation with them and put the rod back. But we also explained to them, I can't allow you to continue this bad behavior. And if I have to, I'm going to have to go back and get that. So please don't make me do it. And we didn't really have to do it very often. The symbol of the fact, I am responsible by Scripture to not allow you to behave like this. We need to find what works best for us, but be careful. Ask God, is this what you'd have me to do? Is this how I can help my child not follow a behavior that is not healthy for him? So as we dedicate our children and commit and dedicate ourselves to follow his word and teach, we need to be purposeful. We need to be aware. We need to understand. And we are a young church, and we're blessed with lots of new babies coming. And just within the first six months of the year, we have six new babies joining us. And that is exciting. That is super exciting. And so this is a time that we all, even if you're not a parent, this is a time where you could just be a support. You know, just think about that parent's struggling right now. Don't criticize them. Don't say, why are they letting their child do something they shouldn't do? Just maybe walk over and just encourage the child. Help them, be supportive, be loving. Ask the parent, what can I do to help you if you see they're struggling? You know, we're a family. We're the body of Christ. And sometimes we just need each other. We need help. There's no way we could have done it without the help and guidance of others and examples. So let's all just put our heads together, put our minds together, our prayers together, and trust God in everything that we do. And as we instruct, as we are instructed to train them up in the way that they should go, this is a great responsibility, and we must spend much time in prayer and planning. And as many of you know, a good teacher has a lesson plan. And they don't just plan that day and instinctively do whatever they feel like doing, but they plan out the year, and then they go from day, week, year, and they know where they're headed. And I just want to encourage you to be purposeful and set goals. Talk about it. Think about it. What do we want from our children? Do we want our children to maybe pursue a degree in something? Do we want them to be involved in ministry? Do we want to just look at this next year only? Do we want to look at a grand plan? You know, don't plan your child's life out for them, because that's their job to do it when they become of age. But what do you want for your children? Pray for that. What do you feel that, where do you feel that God is leading them? What is their strong points? What are the things that will help them in life? Just be purposeful, set goals for them and encourage them. And set aside time to bond with your children. And don't just hope they turn out good. And help them, let them have your undivided attention. Do things with them. We all know that it's important, and we intend to do it, but do we want to put the work that's involved in it? We can't just wait for it to happen. We need to make it happen. Be purposeful, deliberate, intentional. For a period of time when our boys were younger, I don't remember the exact age, but they were learning, when they first were learning to read, we set aside one night a week, Monday night, we would sit around the fireplace, we would grab a novel, and this was our family time. And we would read because we wanted our children to have a love for reading. And it's important to read the Word of God, and you read it daily with your children, pray daily with your children. But also there's fun things that you still can learn and grow. What is it that you want your children to enjoy? What do you want them, how do you want to spend your time with them? Well, we chose reading these novels, and they were some Canadian West sagas and things about Canada and different years and years history, things that we would learn. And so our children were learning about cultural and different things and also learning how to read. And that was a time that I loved. I loved doing that. And then it ended up that they couldn't find out quick enough what was going on. So they grabbed the book when we weren't watching and we're reading, was ahead to see what was going on. So it put built excitement in them. And so Think of creative things like that, things that you can encourage your children to do with you, to bond and help them. And when we are frustrated, we may need a time out. If you notice as a team, as a husband and wife, if you are blessed to have a parenting team, there's times that you're going to have to say, I need a time out. I'm stressed. I'm not acting properly. And that's where you need to have someone. Hopefully it's a spouse, another parent that can step in and help. Or if you have to do like another parent, your parent, or just a friend, say, you know what, can you just come over for a little bit and give me a break? I need some time. But we need to be proactive. We need to be aware. What can I do so I am not taking things out on my children? So if you need your time out should be calling on God. If you need to, call on God right in front of them. Dear Jesus, I don't know what's going on right now. Help me. Let's pray. Grab your child's hand and say, let's pray. I don't know what's frustrating the two of us. You know, you've heard my husband say before, there's many times we had to go to our children and say, you know what, I am so sorry. The way I handled that was wrong. I should have never done that. Please forgive me. So we need to be honest. Don't think we're infallible and that we can't make mistakes. So we need to strive to be in unity at all times. Don't ever let your children hear you disagree about discipline. And so this weekend at the marriage retreat, Sister Shostrand was speaking, and she was talking about when the husband and wife are maybe out, and the one is just exhausted and just doesn't want to do anything, and people are saying, let's go do this. And, you know, a lot of times we have one parent one spouse that is a party animal, and the other one likes to have their quiet time. And so she was encouraging us as married couples, have a little sign. No, I'm not going out to eat today. Stop, be quiet. she even gave the example of, you know, you don't have to make noises, but we can implement this with ourselves and with our children. You see dad going off, mom going off and saying, you touch that again, I'm going to break your fingers. You are not going to break your children's fingers. And that's another thing I encourage you. Don't ever tell your children you're going to do something you're not going to do. Don't lie to your children. They need to count on your word. If you say, I'm going to break your fingers, you need to say, I'm sorry. I did not mean that. So be careful to be real intentional, be very purposeful. And if you need to, make that mutual thing that where you can communicate with your spouse, with the other parent, without the child knowing that you are off the hook, and help them see it so the child doesn't know that the other one did that. Okay, so here's just a few more things that I want to add real quick. We need to teach our children in the house of God to respect it. Never interrupt the moving of the Spirit. We need to help them understand that if they're behaving in a way that's disrupting the Spirit, we need to teach them not to do it. Reverence the Word of God by not being allowed to walk around and leave the sanctuary during teaching. No, not chewing gum, and then we need to do this as example ourselves, because not only does it destroy property, but it also is obnoxious. Some, you know, not all people are really good at hiding the piece of gum in their cheek. So that's something that's just, you know, you don't do it like even at weddings or different times when something's important. You don't want to be that distraction. And to not disturb others while they're praying, but help them to understand how to pray with others properly. To learn to sit on the pew with us and worship when it's time to worship. Give when it's time to give and when it's time for praying for others. And like this morning, there's times with David when I was holding him, I would try to encourage him to stand and help them to understand that you could stand and you could worship God too. And this isn't time for you just to check out, even though you're only two. You know, I still want to encourage them at a young age. So there, like a while ago, I said to David, Grandma will hold you as long as you continue worshiping. As long as you worship, I'll hold you. If not, you need to stand down here and worship. So then he starts doing this. And so this morning when I was holding him, that was a while ago that I said that, I pulled him back a little bit, and he must have thought I was going to put him down, and he started right away. Clapping his hands, his way of worshiping. I want to stay in your arms, Grandma, and worship God. So, you know, there's things that we can deliberately teach our children. And about not getting up and moving around, like I know with since Abby and David's parents are up here a lot of times and worshiping on the worship team, I'll have the children and I'll forget to take them to the bathroom before church. So numerous services, one after another, oh, Grandma, I have to go potty. I'm like, oh, I forgot to take you before church. So it'll save you some time because I was really just loving the worship and I kind of felt like maybe I should go pray with somebody. Grandma, I have to go potty. So we had to stop, miss part of it. I got, hurry, 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 we got to get back up so we can worship. So that's something that we need to teach them, that let's go to the bathroom before service. So that way we can participate in everything. This is what we're here for. We're not here for a very long time. Let's get everything we can out of it. Don't let them run and play in the sanctuary. Bring some things. Like after service, we like to stand around and talk, and we like to visit a little bit. So help your child to have something that they can visit with their friends. You sit on a pew, sit on the floor, do something they could talk about, because that's an important time. We can't just expect them to stand still right next to us, not do anything, but we certainly don't need them plowing into people, running around, knocking people over, because we want them to understand and respect the house of God. Teach your children to do for others by doing so yourself. Never let your child hear you talk negative about people, especially those in authority. You are teaching them to challenge your authority. If you don't respect authority, you're teaching them not to. Deuteronomy 6:7, we all know this verse as well. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And the most important thing, and the last point I have, is be consistent. The best thing you can do for your child is be consistent. When you start to teach a child a desired behavior, you must be consistent. When a child is made to follow the rules one day, but the next day is allowed to go back to the old behavior, it confuses them. And they are not sure just what you want from them. Also, the days you enforce the rules, they wonder if you really mean them. And they may try your authority. Often this results in the child being punished. When this happens, the child is not being bad, they're just confused. And you'll have to, and you could save yourself a lot of heartache and the child a lot of heartache and struggles if you are just consistent. If you constantly be aware, I just said this, whether I really meant it or not, I have to follow through now. I need to make sure. I just told you to sit down. Now I am going to stop what I'm doing and make sure that you sit down. Whether I change my mind or not, now you have to tell them, I asked you to do this, I want you to do it. Even if it's just for 10 seconds, they have to sit down because you just told them to sit down. So if you do that, you're going to save them a lot of things in life. School, there's guidelines in schools and workplaces. They're going to benefit from those things if you teach them to live a consistent lifestyle and to be consistent in everything that you say to them. You'll save yourself a lot of headaches. So that is the things that I just feel are very helpful in parenting, and the things that I took away from ours.